Welcome to another episode of Contract Heroes, the show where our guests, and sometimes us, provide best practice recommendations on all things related to contract management.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Contract Heroes, where we're not the heroes, our guests are. And today on the show, we have Navdeep Gulati. He's the contract specialist working for the Alberta utility company known as ATCO Electric. Navdeep has an extensive background in the contract space. And before we dive into our typical Q&A and back and forth, we wanted to flip things over to Navdeep to get a little bit more background information on where he's coming from, what he's been working on, and where he is now. So Navdeep, thank you for joining us, and we'd love to hear a little bit more about yourself.
Thanks, Mark and Pepe, for inviting me here. I am happy to be here with you guys.
Okay. Awesome. Navdeep, so I know you have an extensive background working on contract management, but can you tell us like what you've been doing before starting to work at ATCO?
Okay, so as you said, you know, that's one, Pepe, that I have been working in the, you know, the procurement and the contract management field for quite a number of years. Okay, so I can say as old I am, or maybe a little older than what I am now. So some days you work more than the normal day, right? So I started professional life. I've done this bachelor's in the civil engineering and then master's in the business administration. I've done this from India while brought up in India, right? So after doing my studies and, you know, doing some sort of job there, I was starting my career life there. Then I moved to Middle East. I went to the country by the name Kuwait. It's a small country, but quite famous country. You know, you must have heard about it a lot, you know, coming in a lot of news due to the Gulf Wars, you know. Okay, so it's a small but a very prominent country in the world scenario. So I was lucky, you know, to get a job there in one of the leading EPC company there, Consolidated Contractors Company. Okay, so this company is quite active in the oil sector and in the utility sector in that area. So my placement was in the utility sector for basically doing various jobs for them in the transmission and distribution networks, right? So I built, you know, a lot of transmission lines, substations. So I worked with my construction and the management background. I worked in the construction. I worked as a project manager and as a leading for the contract and business development manager. So different roles, you know, different hats I've been wearing while working in around 20 years in that company. Then I moved a little bit, you know, I don't know, maybe my interest or, you know, my destiny had it. So I moved to the oil sector, to one of the owner operator refineries. And then I start concentrating in the contract management field, right? So I was basically like a senior contracts engineer in that company, where I was handling all the contractual issues for various large refinery projects. So that was actually a good eye-opener also, I can say it, for me, you know, learning how to deal with the huge mega projects, being an owner operator, and then, you know, you are working with large contractors, large international contractors. How do they deal with learning? Although you are basically supervising the teams of those contractors, but you learn a lot from those contractors also. You know, I'll be really very, 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 very honest in that. You know, it was really wonderful, you know, working with those teams there, right? And then my life moved me to Canada, 2013. I got a job there. Then, you know, with my background, with my, you know, this one, the skill set there, I was lucky enough that, you know, my first job there, I got in the utility sector only, what I was doing, similar to what I was doing before. And then with the ATCO Electric, I start, you know, managing the various contracts. So I'm handling procurement works, handling the contract management. Once, you know, you have those contracts for construction of transmission lines or substation projects, right? All those works I'm doing now. So I think, you know, because all my life, basic thing is, you know, I have worked in a multicultural, multinational, in a diverse groups, right? So life been had and also always been, you know, like an interesting work field for me, where I got a chance to people with various backgrounds. I think that is one of the most interesting part in my background, right? That, you know,
right.
I never confined myself to one area or one group, right? And that really helped me to, you know people more, deal with people more. And the best part was, you know, get out of the people the best I could for my company, right? So my regarding the work there, the you know contracting is always a mixed bag, right? So you get some mixed contracts. I was lucky enough to get some, you know, easygoing projects where what we plan, things go as per the plan. But again, life is not a fairy tale story.
Right.
Oh,
it's not always that easy.
It's not always that easy. Yeah, right. So, you know, so we always wish for the easy part, but always we come across all strange things. Right. So this also happened in a lot of the contracts where we have all kind of stories, tough stories also. We had a problem in the design. Our own design was, you can say, wrong. Clubbed with the, we had a tough client. And then we have a contractor who is well experienced, but same time very demanding one, who right. wants everything perfect on their table. And the moment you make a mistake, their team is ready to come up with the claims, come up with the extra cost.
Of course.
You know, I'm sure people, you know, who are in the contracting field, they know, you know, that how easy it is to get the claims and how difficult it is to handle those claims. So those have been, you know, some interesting part of my life journey, right? And but I'm feeling happy that overall, so far, I've been able to manage through this one and still doing it and hoping for the best. And
of course.
Today I'm here. Thanks for your invite to make me share my life story.
It's our pleasure, Navdeep. And so I think a lot of our audience and a lot of the companies that we have worked with, I mean, they have project management processes, but maybe they don't put them that much attention because I don't think, maybe they don't think it's important, or maybe it's something they've been thinking about but never implemented. But with all your experience with the good deals and the more difficult deals, like, why would you recommend or why do you think that the contracting process of every organization needs attention?
That's a very interesting question. It's, and I think you started rightly with a very basic question on the contracting life, right? I will say, you know, I think my one line will answer the most part of this one. Most of the organization, by a rough estimate, spend 70 to 80% of their expenses are on the contracts, right? So this may be the contracts, you know, for the actual project works, for the procurement of the materials, even for the procurement of the resources, manpower, right? So
right.
You can see, you know, they are spending most of their money through the contracts, big or small or whatever it is, right? So this definitely makes it very important for any organization to have the right contracting process in place, right? So which is one basic requirement. And sadly, you know, I will say, you know, from my experience, you know, okay, luckily I've been working in a big organization where I have, you know, we used to have proper system in place, but I have dealt with a lot of companies, a lot of organizations, you know, as my, vendors, and even, you know, some of my clients, where I have seen project management or the contract management systems or the processes are not written in black and white.
Right.
Okay. So those are the, you know, the problems, you know, the employees are really, you know, this one, they try to do their best and each one is making their own judgments, what is the best for them, right? So some people, maybe they have good background, good knowledge, you come across with them, you find a good dealing with them. But some of the persons who don't understand the real contracting process, you know, you'll just lose your time with them. So those kind of situations come across. So basically, you know, coming, you know, what I reached to this conclusion in life, you know, most of the organization, they should spend some time and resources to get a clear project management and the contract management procedure processes written for them, right? So if you're even a small organization, you can get some consultants. For a big organization, you can have your own people write it there, or you may hire a third-party consultant to help you to write it. But I feel, you know, it's one of the mandatory things which all organizations should do.
Right, right. Yeah, and I think it's, you know, it's important to that you pointed out, right, that that's for smaller organizations. I mean, there might not be somebody inside the organization that really understands what those processes need to look like. So looking outside to a consultant and a third party, you know, is something that, you know, again, even larger organizations might have to do if they don't have anybody experienced inside, you know, in-house. And I guess this kind of brings us, it's a good segue into our next question here, which is, you know, I mean, Navdeep, how do you deal with these other parties and their expectations when you're going through this contracting process?
Okay, so yeah. So the basically what we define contract is basically an understanding, or, you know, is a document, or it may be a verbal also, right? It is a charter which defines the relationship between two parties or more than two parties, right? So what is the, as I said before, the contract is something, you know, which gives you in black and white how each party is supposed to deal, right? So how, what, and then, you know, the second part comes, you know, once you start dealing with them, then it's a very good question mark, you know, expectations, right? So each party, when they come to the table, when they sign the paper, and once they are going out of this one, their mind starts with some expectations, mm-hmm. right? So the owner has his own expectations. They want the good job. They want the clean job. They want the job to be meeting the time budget, meeting the time, the cost budget, right? They don't want any hassles. They don't want, you know, excess of the all those communication and letters and everything. Whereas the contractor is coming, going with an expectation, oh, I want to do this job. I want to make some money out of it. I want to develop some relationship which can help me to get further jobs. So both the parties, you know, they come up with some expectations. And how to meet the expectation, I will say a few points, you know, which, you know, although there is a lot can be said about it, but few important things which I have learned in my life, you know, how to deal with the expectation, I can say, you know, the first thing will be just to be clear what is your paths, whatever you're supposed to do. So one of the things we do in the contracting is the responsibility matrix, right? So you know, when you draw the responsibility matrix, you know that okay, what are you supposed to do, right? And that also gives you some idea what are the rights of the other party, right? Okay, and then to start with this one, a good thing to start is to read the contract, like, you know, because even if the owner team had drafted the contract, but the people who are managing the contract, it's very important time for them to read the book. And similarly, right, for the contractor team, it's very important to read the book. I know from my experience, you know some of the contracts we just thought it, you know, we took the things for granted, and when we have the problems we have an email or in a letter coming in the old times, you know, with a clause, citing and clause, which we know it is there, right? So it's very important, you know, to when you make your expectations and when you want to meet the expectations, right? Okay, so you read what is it mentioned in the book, right? Okay, and then, you know, it's good also. One good step is to be, you know, really present and actively participate in the kickoff meetings, right? So this is basically, you know, which sets the ball rolling. So during the kickoff meeting, most of the owners are very vocal about what they're expecting in this contract, right? So I would recommend all the contractors, you know, to be very careful during the kickoff meeting and listen to, you know, because most of the owners, they come with various their subject matter experts. So they'll have the safety expert, they will have the design expert, they will have the mechanical design experts, they'll have the survey expert. So for the contractor to listen to those experts to see that, you know, will give a very good idea to the contractor if they're listening to it carefully, what are the expectations, right? And then they can make out, you know, their, once they go back home, they can make their plan, how they want to meet the expectations. And same time, it'd be a good time for them to go and see, you know, if they found that owner is coming up having some thoughts which are really not practical, which is something beyond the contract book. So what I said, you know, listening to right. them and reading the book. So when they do their back home analysis, they can definitely go back to the owner. And a reasonable owner will definitely listen to them, right? So they will go by the book, but same time, they'll be very reasonable and considerate in their approach. So it's good actually, you know, to have these kind of discussions right at the beginning. And then, you know, once you, both the parties, they fairly feel that they're on the same page, I think the relationship will go much more smoother.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, those are some great points, right? I mean, you know, making sure that the expectations and responsibilities of both sides of the agreement are clear and understood. And I mean, obviously it seems like a no brainer, but just reading the contract and making sure that you understand, you know, where the positives and the negatives are, what's going to stand out, you know, what's going to be something that we have to make sure that we're really keeping expectations close to our chest in. And then of course, you know, being present in that kickoff meeting, having all parties there, having all parties agreeable to things that are being walked through. Now, Navdeep, I think that those are some great takeaways, and some are more obvious than others, but you know, I think that some of the most obvious things in life are things that we kind of forget to do. So it's definitely great to bring those up.
Exactly, Mark, you know, that's what I'm trying to highlight here, because what happens, more obvious things, we are very easy to forget, you know.
Mm-hmm. Right. Exactly. So Navdeep, We can talk about when things go good in a contractor relationship. This means you do the work and you get paid, right? That's like the best scenario. But what happens when things go bad? So how can you handle those relationships with vendors or client where there was something that maybe you didn't realize was inside of the contract, or maybe anything else went wrong? Like, could you give us one, or tell us a story, or give us one example on your experience when that happened?
Oh, that's again, you guys are coming up with very good questions. So, right. I consider relationship as one of the key areas for the success in a contractual relationship, right?
Right.
So, although we say that, you know, it's a book, you just follow the book, but again, who's following the books is the human beings, and we human beings are more emotional than scientific, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So, and the emotions and relationship, they go hand in hand with each other, right? So. And in contracting field, like any other field, it's easy to build up the relationship, but it's easier to ruin the relationship, right? So it's
right.
very, you know, so it's you know, so what I will say is, you know, contractor and the owner and all the parties, they do have to work consciously to build the relationship, right? So, you know, I would recommend everyone working on a contract, you know, to keep one thing in their mind that, you know, okay, when they want to participate in the meeting, on telephone conference calls or emails, you know, they need to keep something at the back of their mind that we have relationships to be maintained here, right? Okay, so in contracting world, it's not like, you know, the human relationship, you know, you're like your friend circle, because no, nothing is guided. But in contracting world, most of the things are, you know, mentioned in black and white. It's good, mm-hmm. you know, that we have a book to back up, you know, with our decisions. So it's good actually, you know, that okay, we have those books to guide us as long as you follow those guidelines, right? And what happens that, you know, I will say that, you know, if you're doing something, you're taking some action, right? Okay, you're doing fully ethical way, okay, with your good intentions toward the contract, and you know, with the book in the mind, right? Even if the other party may not like it momentarily, but I've seen in my life, in the long run, they will always appreciate your step, because you know, you did the right thing on an overall scenario. So right, so that's what I will recommend, you know, basically to keep the relationship, right? So, coming to your second part of your question, Pepe, that you said, give me some example. I can give you an example, very simple example, what happened, in one of our contracting jobs, we asked the contractor to bring, because they had some technicians working in a live substation. So we asked him, even if you have those technicians, you need to bring one specialist with this certification to be as their supervisor. Okay, so that's an extra cost to the contractor. So, and we told them, this is as per the, our contract, part of your scope. So the contractor said, I never budgeted this item, okay? So it's not mentioned there in the contract, right? So he wanted to charge us for this one. So we do have some extra other clauses, that the contractor cannot stop the work. So we took the help of those clauses to guide them. Okay, so even the contractor, they wanted the money, but still they wanted to go for a very, huge issue. So they brought the guy, we continued with the work, but still at the back of it, we continued some discussion. Okay. So from my side, basically, I thought it as a very, maybe my, this one, little bit of my noviceness, that I took it as a very light. I said, okay, it's mentioned in the contract that he's provided to provide a supervisor. And as per, the electrical guidance, there is supposed to be a supervisor there. So it's an easy go for us. So there should not be any issue. But I was really surprised, the amount of resistance which the contractor showed, right? So, okay, right. So they came up with huge emails. They gave us threat of standstill. They gave us threat of, going to the court, going to the arbitration. So then they didn't leave any word, for this kind of the claims, right? So then one of the ways I could do was, react to the situation. Okay, they wanted to go to the court. They wanted to take a drastic action. So react to it and said, hey guys, you're free to do whatever you want to do. Okay, this is our position and we are not moving from here. So that was there. The other way was in actually, this one, I just think took the things a little bit to the backside and then reviewed them. And then, go back to them with the response that, okay, first go to see, look at these clauses. So I reminded them, what are the contract provisions in this one, right? And then, I gave them some examples of how the previous other works have been done by the other similar contractors, which was again an eye-opener for them. And then, with all these things, then another thing which I opened was, I started the discussion with the senior management of the contractors. Instead of just leaving at the project management level, I involved even the vice president of the company in this discussion, right? So, like usual, I think it's not, his part, because he had the background information from his people and he wanted also money for his company, right?
Right.
So he was, definitely, favoring it. But when he was involved directly from the client, he got the emails, he got the messages, right? He got the direct reference material. He was participating in the median. And when he found he didn't have much logical background to back up his claims, immediately his after 2-3 meetings, we have entirely a change of the scenario, right? So he told us, I'll go back to my team. I'll consult with them. And then he came back. He said, okay, we withdraw our claim. Okay, so... Right. So things were resolved. Right. We continued with the completion of the job and we developed a very strong relationship with that contractor, basically, right. So it's not like that, we had one sore point and then we break up with those people. No, we came out stronger as a contracting partner.
Great. Right. No, completely true. Right. I mean, there's a lot of situation when things like this can happen, but and I think this, maybe they didn't have all the backgrounds, and I understand what was the situation. But Navdeep, in case that, how would you recommend to handle change orders and claims? Because this is a situation when things didn't go well, but how would you recommend to maybe put it inside the contract, or maybe just made it clear for either of the parties on how to handle either change orders or claims in order to avoid these kind of discussions?
Okay. So change is one another important, very important area. I'll say very important area in our contracting business, right? So we all know and we heard about this change is the most permanent thing. Changes are inevitable, right?
Right.
And I'll give you one funny, let me start with one funny example here, you know. When
okay.
I started my, one of my early jobs, you know, the department director there, he told me, you know, he said, okay, these are the contracts going on. So I want you to make a presentation for senior management, how to avoid the claims and changes and claims, right? So I was very happy on this assignment. I said, okay, I got a very challenging assignment. I made some, you know, start and this will really help the company, right? Okay. And then, you know, I start working on it. I did start digging materials here in the contract, other reference materials, some previous work which has been done. And then all of a sudden, I found one presentation which has been done 5 years before by one other guy on the same subject. Okay. So that was an eye opener to me that, okay, you know, that I'm not going to end this thing here, you know. So it's like an ongoing, you know, ongoing war between the contractors and the owners, right? So that was, you know, like, you know, I could make a really, you know, okay, I'm not going to solve this problem permanently, but at the same time, we can't turn a blind eye to it. We need to work on this one in a conscious way. So that one, you know, really, you know, it was an open perspective, opening my perspective to this reality of the life. Changes do happen. We do want to avoid these changes. We do have to make an effort to this one. It's an ongoing effort, but still we have to accept it. They will come and we'll have to accept them as part of our life, right? So coming to the second part of your question, which is, you know, how to handle this change order and the claims, you know, right? So every organization, you know, they have different, as you said before, you know, some of them, they have their written charter. Some of them, you know, they have the change process. Those organizations, I think the things go much more smoother, where you have a contract management or the project management procedures, and you know, contract management, maybe it's a part of the project management, and then they have a really well-defined change process is there, right? So most of our organizations I worked, we had some change process, but it's, again, it was like a dynamic document, live document where we kept on updating and changing, right? So if you have those documents, they really help you, right? So I'll recommend, you know, most of the organizations to make sure they do have these documents. If you don't have it, like what Sir Mark noted before, you know, either use your own people or use a third party consultant to get some documentation done for you, you know. And especially, you know, these internet days, you know, things are much more easier. Before, you wanted to find somebody local whom you can meet, talk, and this thing. But these days, this remote connectivity has made the life much more easier. Sitting in one east part of the world, you can get a consultant do everything for you from the west, right? So that's, you know, one thing, you know, which is a basic start for handling any change order claims. You need to have proper documentation, proper process in your place, you know, right? Other I will just name few steps, processes, you know, from my experience, which I come, you know, so
sure.
I'll just highlight few of the things, which points I'll say. I'll name five of them. Steps for resolving change orders. First thing will be study and prepare yourself, right?
Okay.
Again, I'm talking about the basic things, basic fundamental things, but sorry to say, many people, including me, we do forget this part, you know. So studying, being preparing yourself for this one, is the most important thing when you go on to go for a change, you know? Right? Okay.
Right.
And when you have this change and the claims, so both parties, they first, you know, it's good actually to announce your you know, either through emails or something, that, you know, you are straightforward, your professional approach and honesty, and you are honest and integrate in your approach, right? So that, you know, other party knows what you're doing is basically, is your contractual right to put the claim or your contractual right to reject the claim, right? So it's good to put on the table what your thoughts are, right? And another thing, you know, which is important is when you go for, you know, these discussions, when you want to handle this one, any change order, you should be, you know, part of the preparation is you should know what are your alternatives. So there's a terminology called BATNA, B-A-T-N-A. So that means, you know, best alternative to negotiated agreement. So this basically, you know, when you go for, it's like, you know, you're soul searching, you want to see what are my negotiated agreements can be. And if I don't reach this, what else I can, what are other options available with me, right? So, it's something like that, if I am going to reject the claim, right? So, yeah. One of the things is happen is the contractor may stop the work. Do I have a standby? Do I have my own team? Do I have a second contractor in this case? If I don't have it, and I know the contractor is an adamant contractor, they may stop the work. So I may not go to that drastic step, right? Okay, so, but if the contractor is really, if I accept it, okay, then it's going to start a bad chain. And even if I accept now for the stick of cooperation, but it'll start a bad chain. So then you may have to put my firm foot here, right? So those kind of, this one, the preparation work is good for this one, right? And the next part is, this one, the communication, right? So communicate. And a very important part of the communication is, to don't let the communication die, right? So sometimes what happens when you're talking, when you're even your phone or on the emails, you put something or you reach to a position where things go to a dead end. So I always avoid to, put my email in my messages in a way which can close the road, right? So we always in this contracting business, we need to keep the road and the options open. So be careful in your approach when you want to keep the communication line open, right? Even if other party has closed it, you are not, don't be on this ego, right? So this is what my second point is, always you handle the situation on the principle basis, not on the personal approach, right? So don't bring yourself to this. You're doing it, but don't bring yourself to this changes, right?
Right. Try to keep the communication as smooth as possible.
Yes. And don't give your personal, your ego, your personality, right? Your own feelings to it. Keep it as objective as possible, right? When you take the things personally, normally it spoils the situation. Sometimes personal relationship helps, but bringing your personal, when I say personal, that means like you bring your ego, your personal choices. That kind, that kind of situation, things can go haywire. You may reach to a more sore points with your contracting partners.
Right, or the negotiation might take just way longer.
Well, exactly.
I think that those are, Navdeep, usually we ask folks at the end of the conversation to give us one or two bullets on, what are the main takeaways that you want people to get from this episode? And I think you just gave us five great ones, so I don't even have to ask you that question. But I did want to ask you one more thing, and this is just more so around, the types of technology that you've used in your current role and at previous employers, when it comes to contracts. As far as contract lifecycle management goes, have you seen any benefits? I mean, have you used manual methods? Have you used CLM tools? Do you have any suggestions for folks out there that are maybe starting to look to invest in technology on how they start that process?
Okay. I think, your question is a good question. Again, you're talking about technology, and I started my career when we were using the hard copies of the contracts. Mm-hmm. We used to have four signatures. We used to have a contract book of 2000 sheets where each and every page used to be initialed, right?
Right.
And signing a contract used to be a ceremonial process with 10 people working in the background, preparing the book and,
a whole afternoon just for signing 200 pages.
Yes. The afternoon for signing the 200 pages, And people clapping when the people are signing. But now we have got
a bottle of champagne.
Yeah, opening a champagne. When you have two presidents signing the contract. We have reached to a situation where we have in hundreds of millions of contracts being signed digitally, without a cake being thrown to the people. Okay. So digitalization has really helped a lot. Things are much more faster in the life. I have seen a lot of transition in my life. Going right from the big computers to this fully automated, where I will say in my, like in Edco, when I joined, we used to have hard copies, we used to have big filing cabinets, and currently now I've been working from home for last 1.5 years, and we have been surviving without a single sheet of paper,
right.
So that's the amount of, you can see the, just feel the digitalization, how much it has helped us, so we are dealing still with the contracts, we are still even with the subcontractors, we still have all the processes going on. But with the technology, we have been able to manage this. And in the technology, I think my experience, you know, the Mark, what you asked about this one, I have more experience actually, you know, using this one, the cloud and the SharePoint, right? So we have been, you know, OneDrive and the SharePoint, we have been using a SharePoint. SharePoint we used, you know, a lot, you know, in my organization. CLM, you know, I'm studying this issue now, CLM. So recently I got some familiarity with the CLM and I'm really, you know, getting excited about the CLM because this is the contract lifecycle management software. I found, you know, this really helps to manage contracts more effectively. It's increasing the efficiency, streamlining our process. And, you know, in addition, it's helpful in reducing the risk for the parties, right? It's giving us a standardization from the start till the finish of the project, you know, reducing the need of the manual task and giving us a really very good automation where we can, you know, work with the us and the contractor together. And for sure, simplification, right? So, which is the evident benefit. There is a cost added to it. But my initial survey of this one is, you know, I believe the cost is benefits are much higher than the cost.
Yeah.
So I'm still studying more about the CLM for introduction of CLM in my company, right? But meanwhile, you know, for my personal exposure so far, any company who is thinking about it, I would really recommend them to, you know, go there, go study. We are lucky that, you know, there are a lot of people who are supplying this software. You know, it's not a monopoly area that only one or two companies are available. So there are different companies who can meet your requirement. So it'll be good to study and, you know, choose the one which fits best to your budget and to your system.
Of course. Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, there's a three takeaways there. Again, I mean, be present in the demos, make sure to read the website and understand, you know, what the system can do. So I think we can apply those takeaways in all different facets of our daily life. So Navdeep, this has been a wonderful conversation. And, you know, if folks want to connect with you or learn more about, you know, your past roles, where can they find you and connect with you?
Okay, so to connect me, you know, I think you can connect me on my LinkedIn profile. You can connect me through my LinkedIn profile. Or, you know, if you want, I can just say my email address is navdeep.gulati@edco.com. So I'll just repeat my email address, navdeep, navdeep.gulati@edco.com. So I can be connected on this email or on my LinkedIn profile. Most welcome. Anyone can connect me. You want to share your experience, you want to share your own knowledge, right? So I'm happy to be connected with the community.
And that's great, Navdeep. So thanks a lot again for all your recommendations, all your tips. I'm pretty sure that a lot of our audience will find it really helpful. And we really appreciate to have you on the show again, Navdeep, and hope to have you again soon.
Thank you very much, Pepe and Mark. You know, I really appreciate you guys coming and approaching me to be on your show. And I'm available.
All right. Thanks, Navdeep.
Thank you.